Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of March 29, 2024. This week we pray for all who are deluded by the lies of sin, the world, and the devil, that many in this holy time of Holy Week and Easter and beyond will hear God's word and be brought into God's kingdom to experience the forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. In our next reading comes from Mark chapter 14. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This week, as we reflect on the crucifixion and the resurrection, we remember Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Springtime is a really hopeful time of year. You see the flowers blooming, but you also have a big opportunity if you really want to take hold of it. You can start a vegetable garden. You can grow many of your own vegetables, and when the time comes, take the fruit of your garden right to the table. this food will generally be more nutritious than what you get from the supermarket. You can control what you eat and use less pesticides and herbicides. The food you eat hasn't been shipped across the country, losing nutritional value and vitamins. It comes right from your yard. We were made for times like these. God provides the blessings of the garden, the blessings of the earth, rain, soil, sun, the fruit of the crop. These things all work together just as God made them to work together in His infinite understanding. In the fallen world, we find ourselves further and further from the garden, and life has a way of pulling us further and further from the nature God gave and created as a gift to us, and making us captive to cycles of endless work and debt and troubles if we let it. Read or listen to the story of Israel, and you will find how they gradually became captive in Egypt. First, giving their money, then their livestock, and then finally themselves, until there came a time that the Pharaoh, the king of the land, didn't remember who Joseph was. God faithfully brought this people out of Egypt so that he could bring them into a land that he had given them. He gave them the law to govern their lives. It was like the original Constitution, and if people were faithful to God and lived by His rules, there would not be tyranny because they would live virtuously and God would govern them. They would live in harmony together. Moses and his closest advisors and the 70 elders of Israel went up and dined with God. Adam and Eve had long ago been exiled from the garden and separated from God. Human sin separated people from God, but in this moment, for Moses and the elders, there was not that separation. They did not die in God's presence. They beheld a beautiful place with sapphire stone pavement and ate and drank and beheld God. It was a supernatural, extraordinary event, a holy event, to dine in God's presence. The last time people walked in the presence of God was in those primeval days of Genesis. This was a truly special time. Sometimes we don't understand and take in the truly special times in our lives until they have already passed, and we find ourselves back in the mundane times. As we reflect on those special times, we might think of them as the good old days. The Last Supper of Jesus and His disciples is an event not unlike that time in Exodus when Moses and the elders went up and ate and drank with God. The extraordinary pattern is hard to see because God has clothed Himself in human flesh in the person of Jesus. The disciples ate and drank in the presence of God, in the person of Jesus. And in His presence, they did not die. They did not go up to God. God came to them and fed them with a life-giving food. On the Passover, He instituted something new, something that pulled together the fullness of the Passover. Even as they remembered the days when God brought this people out of Egypt, out of slavery, the Savior was preparing to do something far bigger. There was the slavery of Egypt, and then there is a bigger but more subtle kind of slavery. There's the everyday slavery of humanity to fallenness, to the flesh, to spiritual struggles people cannot see, to every kind of expectation and slavery that life can produce, and the slavery to sin, which binds us to a terrible fate, death. Adam and Eve died. It was the punishment for sin. Before they fell, there was not sin. There was not death. Why is there this thing called death, this thing that separates us from our loved ones, and this thing called fallenness, which separates us from the greater love of God? It goes back to a garden long ago. Now, it is in a garden at Gethsemane that new seeds are being planted. Jesus has already promised his body and blood for the forgiveness of the disciples. Now he prepares to seal the covenant by shedding his precious blood and carrying the sins of all people with him on the journey. A trial is completed for the innocent man. Religious and secular authorities all condemn him. He carries a tree up a hill and is crucified on it. It is the tree that cancels out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is the tree of life from which Adam and Eve were no longer allowed to eat. It is the tree of life which the rest of humanity had never seen or eaten from. But now, in these days, long beyond that first institution of the Lord's Supper, Christ gives us the fruit of the tree of life, his body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. In the garden, there are things that you think you've done in, things that you think will not live again, plants that will sometimes just come back on their own when you stop messing with them. God gives new growth and new life where once there was death. The seeds of the resurrection were planted on the cross. They just had yet to see them sprout at the garden tomb. The first fruits of a new life to come were planted and sprouted when Christ rose from the dead. The people that had been planted in the ground for centuries upon centuries, and even those not so long ago, will indeed come forth, not just in Israel, but the people of God from all the nations will know God and be gathered and be brought anew and fully from the slavery of sin and death and the slavery of the fallen life in the resurrection to come. We will know a new world, a new life, a better life with Jesus. And the slavery of this world, all the troubles there ever were, will pass away. And we will sit again with God at the table. We will eat and drink in the feast of his kingdom, which will have no end, for sin and death will be no more. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, I come to you for life. I come to your Son, to the foot of his cross, to receive the forgiveness for all my sins. Lord, I pray that you will restore and forgive me from all my sins and bring me at last into your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are deluded by the lies of sin, the world, and the devil, that many in this holy time and beyond will hear your word and be brought into your kingdom to experience the forgiveness, life, and salvation that come through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with all who are struggling with illnesses of body, mind, and soul, that you will bring them restoration. For all who look to you, we pray that you'd bring them healing, that your healing hand would be upon them. We pray that you comfort all who mourn and all for whom death draws near. Help us all to ever remember the resurrection which is to come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Mark chapter 14, verse 25. Jesus says in that verse, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
When I survey the whole wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. For contempt on all my pride, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and a crown, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. In my life's my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. He's my life's, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Here's my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. nation.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. The smite I hide, my blushing face, while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt mine eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind. Blessed through endless ages be the precious stream, which from endless torment did the world redeem. Abel's blood for till now was thine. Yet thou despised and gory thy joy.
to call thee mine. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. My Savior, be thou near me when death is at my door. Then let thy presence cheer me, forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, oh, leave me not alone, but take away my anguish by virtue of thine own. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul? What wondrous love is this, oh my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul? To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb, who is the great I Am, while millions join the theme, I will sing, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing his love for me, and through eternity I'll sing on, I'll sing on, and through eternity I'll sing on.
Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal's sake. He sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. For us baptized, for us he bore his holy fast and hungered sore. For us temptation sharp he knew, for us the tempter overthrew. For us he prayed, for us he taught, for us his daily works he wrought, by words and signs and actions thus, still seeking not himself but us. For us by wickedness betrayed, for us in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death. For us he gave his dying breath. For us he rose from death again. For us he went on high to reign. For us he sent his Spirit here to guide, to strengthen, and to cheer. All glory to our Lord and God, for love so deep, so high, so broad, the Trinity whom we are.